And Johns Hopkins University said the U.S. death toll rose past 125,000. In Texas, Governor Greg Abbott issued an executive order mandating the shutdown of bars and the restaurants be limited to 50% capacity.
People go to bars to get clothes and to drink and to socialize. And that's the kind of thing that stokes the spread of the coronavirus. And so, sure, in hindsight, it may have been better to have slowed the opening of the bar setting.
Former Vice President and presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden said he would mandate the wearing of masks to help prevent the spread of COVID-19.
I would insist that everybody on public be wearing that mask. Anyone to reopen would have to make sure that they walked into a business that had masks.
U.S. intelligence concluded that the Russian military offered bounties to Taliban-linked militants in Afghanistan to kill American troops and other coalition forces. That's according to a New York Times report.
Citing officials briefed on the matter, the New York Times said the United States determined months ago that a Russian military intelligence unit linked to assassination attempts in Europe had offered rewards for successful attacks last year. The newspaper says Islamist militants or armed criminal elements closely associated with them are believed to have collected some bounty money. Bill Michaels, Washington.
A federal appeals court ruled that it was wrong for the Trump administration to divert $2.5 billion meant for the Pentagon to build part of the U.S.-Mexico border wall. The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said the White House lacked constitutional authority for that transfer, noting that Congress had denied the funding. I'm Barbara Cusack.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At TermBusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call TermBusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
The I Love New York logo, Milton Glaser, has died.
Glaser also designed the Bob Dylan poster with psychedelic hair. He also worked with New York Magazine. We've seen the I Heart logos in not just New York, but on bumper stickers for dogs and cats. How did he do it? He spoke with the American Institute of Graphic Arts.
It's not intellectual, I mean, it's all emotional. The most significant things are not verbal, they're not narrative, they're something else. They are in the realm of feeling, expression, and art.
Milton Glaser died Friday on his 91st birthday. I'm Pat Piper.
The producers of The Simpsons said moving forward, the animated series will no longer have white actors voice non-white characters. And Family Guy voice actor Mike Henry said he will stop playing the show's main African-American character, Cleveland Brown, because a person of color should play a character of color. I'm Barbara Cusack.
David Horowitz's new book about President Trump is just out. It's called Blitz. Trump will smash the left and win. David Horowitz is on all the leading cable news channels like Newsmax TV and Fox News. A radical leftist who defected to the right, he's one of America's leading conservative thinkers. In Blitz, David Horowitz warns that far-left groups like Antifa want to not only stop President Trump, but crush American values and freedoms. Blitz makes stunning predictions about Trump in the coming months and the election in November. You need to get Blitz. It's already a number one Amazon bestseller. Everyone is talking about it. Donald Trump Jr. says it's the best book for 2020. Mike Huckabee says if every American reads this book, Trump will win. Newsmax says Horowitz's Blitz is a game changer. Get Blitz at Amazon or bookstores everywhere, or check out the free offer from Newsmax and save $28. Just call 800-NEWSMAX. That's 800-NEWSMAX. Or go to blitz411.com. blitz411.com.
In Virginia, northbound 95 approaching Dale City, there had been some construction along the left side and also an accident along the left side. They're picking up the road work, but you will still find some accident activity in the left lane. southbound between Garrison Villaquia and Courthouse Road. You will still find some road work there that is causing some slow traffic. And if you're traveling on southbound 270 at Shady Grove Road, they're still doing some cleanup from an earlier vehicle fire, so the two right lanes are blocked. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Partly cloudy skies on this Saturday. It will be hot and humid. Highs in the mid-90s. Feels like close to 100 degrees. Have a couple of chances for some stray afternoon storms. Tonight, partly cloudy, muggy, lows in the 70s. A better chance for storms on your Sunday. Otherwise, partly cloudy, still hot. Highs around 90 degrees. I'm ABC7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
I'm Leon Napot, co-creator of the hit podcast Slow Burn. I'm here to tell you about a new podcast I'm working on. It's called 5 to 4. An irreverent look at the U.S. Supreme Court.
Sometimes it's important to look back. You need to watch Citizen Kane before you can really understand Avengers Infinity War.
Every week, Peter, Rhiannon, and Michael are going to take on a legally dubious Supreme Court decision.
I told you guys this, right?
Listen and subscribe to 5 to 4. Free.
Like, how simple is that?
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, this is Joe Cordell of Cordell & Cordell. I want to speak here to the dads who, during this crisis, are being denied access to their children or who are being excluded from key parenting decisions. I also want to speak to dads, though, with support orders which they can no longer keep current. In either of these scenarios, doing nothing is probably not a good strategy. Yet, hiring a lawyer right now is a difficult stretch. So in an effort to bridge this gap, Cordell & Cordell attorneys have reduced their hourly rates in addition to giving these dads a maximum fee pledge, which means that whatever happens, attorney fees are capped at that amount. So if you're one of these dads and you need help now, contact us. Remember, this is what we do.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Fairfax area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 571-446-0000. That's 571-446-ALL-ZEROS. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Office in Falls Church.
These are worrisome times, causing a lot of stress and concern. And being in debt to the IRS can certainly make matters worse. Thankfully, there's good news. Optima Tax Relief can help you resolve your tax debt over the phone and online. Don't go it alone. Optima's tax professionals can reduce the stress in your life by helping to resolve your IRS problems right from the comfort of your own home. Optima is America's most trusted tax resolution firm, having resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients. And their award-winning team is ready to help you online and over the phone, even during these uncertain times. They'll stand between you and the IRS and fight to get you the best deal possible. All it takes is one call to start the process. Optima's tax associates are standing by. Take the first step towards putting your tax problems to rest. Call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-908-1755. That's 800-908-1755. 800-908-1755.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Now, the Saturday Morning Update.
105.9 FM, WMAL.
Good morning. It is the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. Jeff Wolf is behind the console. Jane Houghton, our producer this morning. And a lot going on in the news. News developing last night, about 8 o'clock, the president signing an executive order to protect the nation's statues and monuments, and we'll get into the details of that coming up this morning with John Gizzi. He's right on top of it. And also with John Gizzi today, we're going to be talking about the vote on D.C. statehood you may have heard about, and also some major primary upsets, including the seat of Elliot Engel, a key Democrat in the House of Representatives. He lost in the primaries this week, and we'll get into the significance of all of that with John Gizzi coming up later on this morning. We'll talk with K.T. McFarland. You probably have heard that the General Flynn saga continues. A three-member appeals court panel has suggested that the Department of Justice's efforts to dismiss the case against General Flynn, well, the three-judge panel of that court has gone ahead and approved the idea of dismissing it. They are sort of reversing Judge Sullivan's opinion, and Judge Sullivan will be the next step in action. And we're going to get into all of that with Jim Trusty. He'll walk us through the details. But a very interesting case with General Flynn. You also may have heard this week that the notes from Peter Strzok have come out from a meeting in the first week of January in the Oval Office of the White House. In the meeting notes that Peter Strzok took, Jim Comey, the FBI director at the time, said that the call between Ambassador Kislyak of Russia and General Flynn, the call appeared to be legit. Wow. That's a bombshell, as they say. And we're going to talk about the significance of that with Jim Trusty. Also, the significance of that meeting. And, of course, as you know, Jim Trusty, a former prosecutor and also head of the Department of Justice Organized Crime and Gang Unit for years, so he is certainly an expert on that topic. And we'll talk with Jim about that. We're also going to get K.T. McFarland's opinion on those notes of Peter Strzok, that meeting, and also John Bolton's book. Bolton making the rounds this week on the media outlets, including last night at 11:30, did a live shot on Fox News Channel. So John Bolton is working the room, and we'll get K.T. McFarland's opinions of what's in the book. And that's coming up this morning. We'll talk with Jennifer Harper. She's got some interesting poll numbers about Donald Trump and young people. That's coming up right around 6:30 or so, right after the news. We'll talk with Jennifer Harper this morning. You'd be surprised maybe to hear that home prices in the Washington area are very, very strong right now. And we'll talk with Eric Stewart, of course, expert in realty and the host of Pointing You Home. That's Sunday mornings here on WMAL. We'll talk with Eric about the housing market, and he's got some information that I think you may find quite interesting on that. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer will join us. And, you know, Tony's a really interesting guy and has been following the election security topic. We hear more and more about that each week, and he's also been following the developments on Peter Strzok and that FBI investigation and General Flynn, and we'll talk with Tony about that as well this morning. So we've got plenty to cover for you, and want to talk, though, about the coronavirus situation, because the U.S. hit a new record for daily coronavirus cases. The White House Coronavirus Task Force held its first public briefing in nearly 2 months. The governors of Texas and Florida have hit pause on their reopening plans with the bars, and coronavirus cases are trending upward in about half of the states here in this country. So significant developments on the coronavirus front. And again, they had a task force meeting and briefing yesterday at the White House. And this is what Tony Fauci had to say at that briefing yesterday.
Ultimately, you will infect someone who's vulnerable. Now, that may be somebody's grandmother, grandfather, uncle who's on chemotherapy, aunt who's on radiation or chemotherapy, or a child who has leukemia.
And that's Tony Fauci, and there's a lot of talk about the young people who have gone back into the bars and how so many of the newly diagnosed cases of the coronavirus are due to young people getting out and about. And obviously we've seen many of the news stories seeing the young people converging in bars without wearing masks, and that obviously is a problem. And here's what Dr. Deborah Birx had to say yesterday also about young people at that coronavirus briefing at the White House.
We believe everybody is susceptible to infection, but we know infection leads to a spectrum of disease, and we have much better details about who is vulnerable and why they are vulnerable. And as the Vice President said, at one time, we were diagnosing people in the ICU after they came into the emergency room. And thanks to the millennials who have been heeding our guidance, they have been coming forward and getting testing.
And that's Dr. Birx. Time for a check of the traffic and weather here on WMAL.
Earlier incident on northbound 95 approaching Dale City has been cleared, and the construction has also been lifted, so delays are easing. Now, you will still find a work zone southbound on 95 between Garrison Villacuaya and Courthouse Road. Watch out for alternating lane closures there. Traffic still slow in that area. Keep in mind, 395, the express lanes closed for weekend road work between Edsel Road and the 14th Street Bridge. And also keep in mind that the 3rd Street Tunnel northbound is closed between Massachusetts Avenue and New York Avenue for long-term construction. There is a posted detour for you to follow. This will be in effect until 6 o'clock this evening. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
cloudy skies on this Saturday. It will be hot and humid. Highs in the mid-90s. Feels like close to 100 degrees. Have a couple of chances for some stray afternoon storms. Tonight, partly cloudy, muggy, lows in the 70s. A better chance for storms on your Sunday. Otherwise, partly cloudy, still hot. Highs around 90 degrees. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
73 degrees in the nation's capital, 6:15 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Well, as you know, politics gets more and more intense every day, and key goal of the legislators on Capitol Hill is police reform. Democrats have come up with a plan in the House of Representatives. The Republicans had a plan that was proposed by Senator Tim Scott. And, of course, he is from South Carolina. And I've seen him on a couple of different cable news channels quite a bit this week. And I think that he sort of had a really strong approach to this and something the Democrats could have considered. But it is an election year, and as many of the pundits have said, the Democrats would rather make this a campaign issue and campaign on it for the next 4 or 5 months. They'd rather do that than to actually come up with a solution for police reform in the meantime. So Senator Scott was on the floor of the Senate this week, and he kind of was trying to explain to his Democratic colleagues why he was so much the proponent on this for the Republicans. And this is Senator Tim Scott on the floor of the Senate this week.
One of the reasons why I went to Senator McConnell and said, I want to lead this conversation. I'm the person in our conference who has experienced firsthand racial discrimination, racial profiling, by law enforcement, and I'm still a fan because I believe that most law enforcement officers are good. But I'm the guy. I am your guy, Mitch, because this is my issue. This is an issue for every poor kid growing up in every poor neighborhood in this nation who feels like when I leave my home for a jog, I might not come back.
So that's Tim Scott, a very passionate speech on the Senate floor, but the Senate Democrats went ahead and blocked the GOP efforts. Mark Thiessen wrote a very strong opinion piece in the Washington Post, the headline on it, Democrats' shameful vote against Tim Scott's police reform bill. And really a shame. And Senator Scott was on with Dana Perino yesterday on the Fox News channel, and I find the politics of this is just almost sickening when you think of how this is being treated by the Democrats. Here's Senator Scott yesterday.
We have to get something done. We gave the public what they asked for, which was a bipartisan piece of legislation, and the fact is that the Democrats, they rejected the process of having amendments on the floor so the American people could see how they voted. They rejected not 5 amendments, not 10 amendments, but Dana, they rejected 20 amendments. They said they had 20 issues with the bill. So I said, you can have an issue with every single issue you have on the bill, and if you can get the votes, mm-hmm. we'll add it to it. They said no, mm-hmm. and they literally walked out. That tells me that their issue is not police reform. Their issue is not helping the kids in the poorest neighborhoods. Their issue is a political issue, bringing November before July so that they, for the next 4 months, have a chance to campaign on police reform without actually solving the issues around police reform. That, to me, is devastating for the young souls in our country.
Pretty strong statement there from Senator Tim Scott, and it just goes to show where we are on the political scene here in the nation's capital, the Democrats versus the Republicans. A lot of controversy over statues in the past several weeks. President Trump signing an executive order last night to protect the statues, and here's what he had to say a little bit earlier in the week.
It's the position of he's getting up. He's being freed by Abraham Lincoln. And I can see controversy, but I can also see beauty in it. And it was paid for by slaves. I don't know if you know that. It was paid for because they were so grateful to the president.
And that's President Trump talking, of course, about the Lincoln statue, which is right adjacent to the United States Capitol, and that is one that is under controversy, a statue that depicts President Lincoln freeing the slaves. And that is one that is of question. Mayor Bowser has also chimed in on the statue issue, and here's what she had to say.
There's a lot of competing views about the Emancipation Statue at Lincoln Park. So we're, you know, I'm getting my thinking around how we can have a discussion about that.
And that's Mayor Bowser and her comments on the statue. It's now 6:21. You're listening to the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL.
When it comes to using data, everyone is different. Which is why Xfinity Mobile created a different kind of wireless network. One that's designed to save you money by letting you design your own data, giving you more choice and control compared to other top wireless carriers. Now, you can choose unlimited, shared data, or mixed lines of each and switch any line, anytime. No one else lets you do that, or automatically connects you to millions of secure Wi-Fi hotspots and the best LTE everywhere else. So no matter where you are, we've got you covered. All while saving up to $400 a year on your wireless bill. Xfinity Mobile. It's wireless reimagined. Call, visit a store, or go to XfinityMobile.com today. Simple, easy, awesome. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Requires residential postpay Xfinity Internet. Actual savings vary and are not guaranteed. For Xfinity Mobile broadband disclosures, visit www.xfinity.com/mobile.
When you're stressed, you just don't feel like yourself. New Natrol Relaxia. A full line of drug-free supplements to help you manage occasional stress and anxiety. A special blend of herbals keeps you feeling calm and balanced throughout the day. Because when there's less stress, there's more you. Try new Natrol Relaxia. Learn more at RelaxiaMood.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
David Horowitz's new book about President Trump is just out. It's called Blitz. Trump will smash the left and win. David Horowitz is on all the leading cable news channels like Newsmax TV and Fox News. A radical leftist who defected to the right, he's one of America's leading conservative thinkers. In Blitz, David Horowitz warns that far-left groups like Antifa want to not only stop President Trump, but crush American values and freedoms. Blitz makes stunning predictions about Trump in the coming months and the election in November. You need to get Blitz. It's already a number one Amazon bestseller. Everyone is talking about it. Donald Trump Jr. says it's the best book for 2020. Mike Huckabee says if every American reads this book, Trump will win. Newsmax says Horowitz's Blitz is a game changer. Get Blitz at Amazon or bookstores everywhere. Or check out the free offer from Newsmax and save $28. Just call 800-NEWSMAX. That's 800-NEWSMAX. Or go to blitz411.com. blitz411.com.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
6:24, it's the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. And Bob Johnson, you may have seen him recently. He was on Fox News this week, did an interview. He is the founder of Black Entertainment Television, and he is the first black billionaire in the United States. And he's had some pretty straightforward comments about the Democratic Party and views on African Americans. And I thought a couple of these clips might be of interest to you. This is Bob Johnson speaking on the Fox News Channel this week. He's a very interesting guy and really started the Black Entertainment Television Network, you know, from scratch. He is the founder and worked very hard to get BET started. And this is what he has to say about the Democrats and Black Lives Matter
if black Americans want to go all the way, they'll never get there in the Democratic Party, because the Democratic Party is going to be concerned that if we go all the way where you want to be, black Americans, we may lose. So they will sacrifice your interests.
And he continued. I think these are very pretty straightforward comments about the Democratic Party.
All you have to do is recall what Vice President Biden said. Even if you think about voting for Donald Trump, you're not black. To have that mindset, you must have the attitude that we black Americans, we own you.
Now, he continued about, and this is one that could send some shivers up the Democratic backs when it comes to parties. Check this out.
African Americans should have their own interests, and that's why I propose that an independent party formed by Black Lives Matter should echo the founding principles of the original Congressional Black Caucus members in 1971, who stated that the reason that they were coming together as a party, even though they were all elected as Democrats, as a group, they said black Americans should have no permanent friends, no permanent enemies, just permanent interests.
And Bob Johnson went on to talk about the statues.
Look, the people who are basically tearing down statues, trying to make a statement, are basically borderline anarchists, the way I look at it. They really have no agenda other than the idea we're going to topple a statue because what? It's not going to close the wealth gap. And it's not going to take people off welfare or food stamps.
And one final comment from Bob Johnson at BET on the statues.
You know, black people, in my opinion, black people laugh at white people who do this. The same way we laugh at white people who say, we got to take off the TV show.
Very strong comments from Bob Johnson, the founder of Black Entertainment Television. 627, this is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. We'll check out the news coming up, and also Jennifer Harper joins us. Stay with us.
It's not if you're going to date again, it's when. It's not whether you're going to find connection, it's how soon. And it's not how you date, it's who you date. The professional matchmakers at It's Just Lunch know what it takes to bring the right people together. With virtual dates now, in-person dates later, and a commitment to making introductions always. And to celebrate 29 years of low-pressure first dates, It's Just Lunch has a special gift for you during the month of June. Visit itsjustlunchdc.com or call 202-466-6699.
Where Washington comes to talk.
I love our affiliate there, WMAL.
105.9 FM.
You guys leading the way.
WMAL.
Did your son struggle with the online learning our area schools offered? Let's be honest. Depending on mom or dad to help explain physics, not always the best way to learn. Hi, it's Vince Colonnaise, and I want to tell you about Fork Union Military Academy. Located in Central Virginia, Fork Union is the nation's leading college preparatory military boarding school, offering top-notch academics and athletics for young men in grades 7 through 12. At Fork Union, they emphasize the core values like respect, integrity, faith, character, and discipline. And right now, they're accepting a limited number of fall enrollments with single-room occupancy for a safe, on-campus educational learning experience guaranteed to help your son achieve success. For decades, Fork Union has proven that smaller classes, personal accountability, and mandatory study periods work to help your son achieve his full potential. Most impressive about Fork Union, 100% of their graduating seniors gain college acceptance. For fall enrollment details and to learn about their enhanced safety protocols, visit ForkUnion.com. That's ForkUnion.com.
The people who refused to listen were the people who were supposed to listen.
This is the time to listen.
Are you listening?
What is it that America has failed to hear?
Hear the latest.
Simply hear us.
On Washington's Mall, WMAL.
In the news at 6:30, Texas and Florida have clamped down on bars in America's biggest retreat yet, as the nation's daily number of confirmed coronavirus cases rose to an all-time high of 45,300. In Florida, Miami-Dade County announced beaches would be closed for the 4th of July weekend. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has closed bars and scaled back restaurant capacity as the second largest state sets records for cases and hospitalizations. It is a reversal for Governor Abbott, who had pursued one of the nation's most aggressive reopening efforts. In Asia, the number of confirmed cases in India topped 500,000, while China and South Korea battling smaller outbreaks. President Trump has signed an executive order to protect monuments, memorials, and statues. Trump had promised the order earlier this week after police thwarted an attempt by protesters to pull down a statue of Andrew Jackson in Lafayette Park across from the White House. The order calls on the Attorney General to prosecute to the fullest extent of the law any person or group that destroys or vandalizes a monument, memorial, or statue. Federal law calls for punishment of up to 10 years in prison. Earlier yesterday, President Trump called for the arrest of protesters involved in the attempt to pull down the statue of Andrew Jackson. A federal judge has ordered the release of children held with their parents in U.S. immigration jails. That judge also denouncing the administration's prolonged detention of families during the coronavirus pandemic. U.S. District Judge Dolly G's order Friday applies to children at three family detention centers in Texas and Pennsylvania that are operated by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Some have been detained since last year. Citing the recent spread of the virus in two of the three facilities, G set a deadline of July 17th for children to either be released with their parents or sent to family sponsors. The Minneapolis City Council has unanimously advanced a plan that could one day do away with the city's police department that follows the unrest over the killing of George Floyd. The council voting yesterday in favor of amending the city charter to replace the current department with a, quote, Department of Community Safety and Violence Prevention. It would prioritize a holistic and public health-oriented approach. Several obstacles remain for that proposal to make it onto the November ballot, though. Critics of the plan, including Mayor Jacob Fry and the Officers Union, say it is short on specifics for what would replace the police department. We're at 6:32. This is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. Time for a check of the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Maryland, on 270 southbound at Shady Grove Road, you will still find some cleanup work from an earlier vehicle fire affecting the two right lanes, but that is not causing delays at this time. You will still find some slow traffic southbound on 95 between Garrison, Villaquia, and Courthouse Road, where there is construction right now. Looks like the right lane is taken away. Traveling in the district, keep in mind that the 3rd Street Tunnel is closed between Massachusetts Avenue and New York Avenue for some long-term road work. Posted detours are in effect. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Partly cloudy skies on this Saturday. It will be hot and humid. Highs in the mid-90s. Feels like close to 100 degrees. Have a couple of chances for some stray afternoon storms. Tonight, partly cloudy, muggy, lows in the 70s. A better chance for storms on your Sunday. Otherwise, partly cloudy, still hot. Highs around 90 degrees. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
73 degrees, 6:33 on the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL.
Businesses are starting to bounce back. But what if you could do better than that? What if you could adapt, deliver, and succeed in new ways with new customers? At Comcast Business, we want to help you not just bounce back, but bounce forward. And now, with one of our best offers ever, we're committed to helping you do just that. Get a powerful and reliable internet and voice solution for only $29.95 a month for 3 months with a 2-year agreement. It'll help you stay ahead with a network you can count on, stay connected with 24/7 support, and thrive with flexible solutions that work wherever you are. Call 1-800-501-6000 or go online today to find out more. Comcast Business. Offer ends 7/5/2020. Restrictions apply. Limited to new Comcast Business 100 megabits internet and one voice mobility line customers. Early termination fee applies. Equipment installation taxes and fees extra. Subject to change.
Thank you.
It is the Saturday Morning Update. Thank you for being with us this weekend. I'm Rick Fowler. Jennifer Harper joins us each week, and she always has the pulse on what's going on and people's thoughts and opinions around the country. She writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. And raise your hand if you're glad that it's Saturday. How about that?
Absolutely. President Trump goes out to Arizona to address young Republicans this week. There's a lot of talk about poll numbers not being the most favorable for the president recently. What are you seeing about young Americans and how they feel about President Trump?
Well, this is something you're probably not going to see much coverage on, because indeed President Trump went out to Arizona this week, and there were 3,300 students out there waiting for him in Phoenix. This was organized by Turning Point USA, that was founded in 2012 by Charlie Kirk, a very interesting young man. But anyway, essentially the media totally ignored this event. I mean, you would think that if Trump was appearing in front of thousands of students, that this was a kind of a cultural moment, something that everyone would be interested in. Well, there was no coverage whatsoever. And according to Charlie Kirk, he says the media was trying to create a narrative that young people were not in support of the president. And in defiance of the media narrative, it was incredible to see all this. This is Mr. Kirk talking. 3,300 students in Phoenix, Arizona, and they lined up to see him for like 9 hours previous to that. And he said that President Trump talked about core American values like e pluribus unum, which means out of many, one. He repeatedly mentioned In God We Trust, One Nation Under God. I really think there is something special happening with young people in America. November, we'll see that all play out. Again, that's coming from Charlie Kirk. Something to watch.
You know, we often talk about polls and the media, but here's yet another one, and this one's a little bit different.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a really very telling poll. It's coming from our pals over at the Pew Research Center, and this is a big, massive poll. It's 10,300 people, and here's what they revealed. 6 out of 10 say that the news media does not understand, quote, people like me. It's a very telling idea that Americans don't feel that the media understands them, that they don't understand their political views, their social or economic class, their personal characteristics, or their personal interests. Again, this is a huge poll of over 10,000 people conducted by the Pew Research Center, and we all know that there's a very troubled relationship between the press and the public, and it's very complicated. And so we have to look at the reasons behind this rift, where Americans think, gosh, my news media doesn't understand me. It's very personal. And so they're taking into account, again, the personal beliefs, religion, income, race, sex, age, all kinds of things came into play here. And it's also interesting to note that half of Republicans and evangelicals say that the media does not understand their political views. And those findings represent the very strongest sentiment in that particular side of the poll. So I think the takeaway message here is that journalists, news organizations, et cetera, we've talked about this before. Somehow they get removed from reality here, and they have to be reminded that Americans, people in general, have a very personal relationship with their media, and they do get mad at it. And at this point, they look like a spurned friend here, 6 out of 10 saying, my media does not understand people like me.
And you have even more polling data on the media.
Yes, indeed. I'm just me and my media polls. I'm sorry it's so early in the morning, but these are pretty interesting. These are coming from a new Rasmussen Report survey, and they find voters still do not trust the political news that they get, and they think it remains biased against President Trump. A very straightforward poll here. And they find out that only 30% of all likely voters, all of them, trust political news that they are getting. This is everybody, Democrats, Republicans, Independents alike. Only 30% trust the political news they are getting, and only 38% believe that the press is reporting in an, quote, unbiased manner. And about that media bias, only 10% of all voters, again, we're talking about all voters here, think that reporters are trying to help Trump pass his agenda while they write or talk about the president, and 44% believe that most are trying to block Trump's agenda. And that's actually down from 51% in August last year. So there's a little improvement there, but not much. And they also did a similar poll like this during President Obama's administration, and they say by comparison, 48% thought that most reporters were trying to help President Obama pass his agenda in 2010 when the pollster reported on this earlier. So anyway, 44% of voters say they are following the news more closely than they were a year ago. This is up from 38% last year as well. But still, gosh, don't trust the press.
So the Republicans are headed for a crowd at a convention. The Democrats are downsizing. And what's the latest on their planning?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting here. The Democrats are at least giving the appearance that they are downsizing their convention here. And they actually have moved their venue this week in Milwaukee. They were originally going to be at the Fiserv Forum. They have moved it to the smaller Wisconsin Center. And big, large-scale welcome events, those are sort of signature events at these kind of conventions. None of that is happening. The audience has been slimmed down. And this is what the Democratic Party said in a statement. Convention organizers have determined that state delegations should not plan to travel to Milwaukee and should plan to conduct their official convention business remotely. A process is being developed to ensure all delegates can cast their votes on all convention matters, including the presidential nomination, remotely. So, that's going to be interesting to watch. And there are going to be a lot of distractions, though, and I think they're of the electronic variety because they have hired Democratic Party has hired Ricky Kirshner to coordinate the nomination process itself, and he's the executive producer of both the Tony Awards and the annual Super Bowl halftime show. So they're definitely going out for the entertainment aspect of this. And also the Democrats say programming would include both live broadcasts and curated content. Interesting word there, curated content. So it kind of translates to less people and curated content. So what does that all mean? Well, Rick Moran, he is a Chicago-based editor for PJ Media. This is what he thinks. The move to limit the convention also plays into the Biden campaign's plan to hide their candidate until the election. There will be few, if any, big Biden rallies during the campaign. That, too, is deliberate. The campaign feels the less opportunity Biden is given to make a fool of himself, the better. Again, that's coming from Rick Moran, Chicago-based editor of PJ Media.
We've seen a lot of unrest in this country recently. You had a story about a surprising uprising in Greenland?
Yes. I started looking at Greenland when the coronavirus pandemic took hold. Just as a reminder, Greenland is 836,000 square mile island. It's actually a property of Denmark at the moment. Got 56,000 people, and I took note of their news because they have only had 13 cases of coronavirus for all the obvious reasons. But that does not mean that they are not involved in cultural matters that are taking place here and elsewhere. And this is coming from Jakob Janhold Petersen. He is a Danish correspondent for Reuters. He says a statue of Danish-Norwegian colonizer in Greenland's capital, Nuuk, was marked with red paint and the word decolonize on Sunday. So all of the statuary activities are going on in Greenland now, and I found that to be an interesting cultural political moment. And the incident comes as statues and monuments around the world are being reconsidered right now. Again, this is coming from Reuters. And the statue in question was of Hans Egede. I believe that's how you pronounce that. Don't know, though. He was a missionary who arrived in Greenland in 1721 and marked the beginning of the island's colonial era. So he has been tagged with red paint. And according to Paniqwag Lind Jensen, who runs a tattoo shop in Nuuk, that's the capital of Greenland, Inuit are constantly silenced and never given the opportunity to process the traumas that have been passed down for generations. And I'm going to just peek in again to see how this all plays out, but it's interesting to follow places like Greenland sometime.
So it looks like we may be staying home a while longer with the recent uptick in coronavirus cases around the country. How about the workplace? A lot of people have made a lot of comments, a lot on social media about working from home. And you've got something on the stay-at-home workplace.
Yes, it's stay at home and work at home, currently all in transition. It's just like looking at what the kids are going to do at school. Certainly a work in progress, but this is kind of a helpful poll from an S&P Global poll of 575 U.S. business executives just released, and here's what they have to say. 85% of U.S. workplace executives say their companies have banned face-to-face staff meetings. 80% have added, quote, universal work-at-home policies. 71% have converted hosted events into virtual events. 47% are likely to reduce their physical office footprint. 20% plan to operate under alternate conditions through 2021 and beyond. And 14% have permanently altered their working conditions. So I'm going to keep an eye on that because it affects everybody. You know, got to have a whole new skill set, but I think it's working out for a lot of folks. But anyway, that's the greater picture.
Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. As always, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Rick. Have a good weekend, everybody.
It is 6:46. It's the Saturday morning update on WMAL. We'll talk with attorney Jim Trusty next. Interesting discussion on the General Flynn case and also the notes of Peter Strzok taken in a White House meeting. Wow, that's coming up. But first, Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Virginia, 95 South, you will still find the work zone between Garrisonville Aquia and Courthouse Road in the right lane at this time. That is causing some slow traffic there. The earlier road work, though, northbound in Dale City has been cleared up, and the delays here have eased. On 270 southbound at Shady Grove Road, you'll still find some cleanup from an earlier vehicle fire along the right lane, not causing any delays at this time. Now, there is some road work right now in Silver Spring on University Boulevard eastbound between Pony Branch Road and Riggs Road. Only one right lane is getting through. Now from GarageDoryPair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Expect partly cloudy skies on this Saturday. It will be hot and humid. Highs in the mid-90s. Feels like close to 100 degrees. Have a couple of chances for some stray afternoon storms. Tonight, partly cloudy, muggy, lows in the 70s. A better chance for storms on your Sunday. Otherwise, partly cloudy, still hot. Highs around 90 degrees. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
73 degrees in Washington, 6:48 on the Saturday morning update on WMAL.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is a Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. Thank you for joining us. It is always great to be joined by Jim Trusty. Now, Jim, you've seen him a lot on the cable news channels. He was the chief of the organized crime and gang section at the U.S. Department of Justice. 28 years a prosecutor now with IFRA Law here in Washington. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Fowler.
Jim, the headline in the New York Times, Appeals Court Panel Orders End to Michael Flynn Case. Now, is this the end? What scenarios could play out here?
Well, there's a couple, and I don't think this first one is all that likely, but it's at least a legal option for Judge Sullivan, which is he could have a request for what's called an en banc review. And the en banc means the entire bench or the entire circuit. So that what that would mean is that the entire group of circuit court judges for the D.C. Federal Court look at the actions of the three-judge panel that just ruled and decide whether to uphold it or not. I think the problem with that option for the judge, aside from just looking like he's becoming obsessed with going after General Flynn, is that the case law was actually really clear about his limited role and about how there's a separation of powers issue, that when the prosecution decides not to go forward, it's not for a judge to suddenly become a new prosecutor. So I think there's a slight chance, at least a legal chance, that he could pursue the en banc review, but I suspect it's unlikely. So there's a couple of things that could flow from this if that doesn't happen. The first is he could literally just sign an order saying the case is dismissed. He could do that in chambers. it would appear on the docket as what's called a minute order. It just means there's no hearing. It's just done. I think the more likely scenario, if I were going to put a little bit of money on this, is that he'll still have a hearing. I think it's in mid-July, July 16th. And at the hearing, Judge Sullivan will probably continue to be a little bit opinionated, but he will certainly, at the end, dismiss the case as he's been instructed to do. And, of course, if he gets too opinionated, I have a sneaking suspicion that Sidney Powell will not be a shrinking violet when it comes to any sort of antics in that courtroom. She'll probably let it be known that he's crossing some lines. So it's going to be interesting. I think the case officially ends with that dismissal in mid-July, but there's a couple of slight possibilities between now and then.
And on a related note on the Michael Flynn case, headline in the Washington Times sums it up. DOJ turns over highly exculpatory handwritten notes from Peter Strzok in the Michael Flynn case. And in essence, there is a photograph of his notepad. And what it shows in the notepad is there's a meeting in the White House, and Jim Comey, according to Peter Strzok's notes, says that the Kislyak-Flynn call appears legit. Now, I thought it was that Kislyak call that started the whole mess.
It sure was, Rick. I mean, look, there's a background to this that a lot of people may not appreciate that I really think we need to talk about for a quick second. And that is this. This meeting itself, no matter what they talked about, and there's really interesting things in terms of what Comey said about the call being legit, about Vice President Biden offering up this obscure Logan Act as a possible basis for prosecution. But the starting point that I think is lost on a lot of folks is that this meeting itself is unheard of. I was a federal prosecutor for 17 years. I handled significant cases. I supervised every RICO case that came across the United States, at least on some level. We were either involved or going through the approval process with U.S. attorney's offices. I can tell you that I probably had a handful of times that I briefed the attorney general, and maybe a couple of handful of times that I would brief the deputy attorney general. But I had never, in 17 years of prosecuting and being around other prosecutors with significant cases, never heard of a situation where a case agent and the FBI director would be sitting in the White House talking about a pending case. I mean, that by itself is absolutely stunning to me. That there would even have, there'd even be a situation where Peter Strzok is sitting down across the table from folks like Joe Biden and Susan Rice and discussing an ongoing FBI investigation. And it may be, again, the notes, to the extent that we can believe Peter Strzok's notes, the notes show that they really didn't care whether there was evidence against General Flynn at this point. They were brainstorming your laws that might be used to snare this guy or at least to monitor his communications. And again, it gets lost in the shuffle of daily news, but to me it's an extraordinary meeting that took place and that they had the type of conversation that they had.
And that meeting took place the first week of January of 2017. That's during the transition, that meeting in the Oval Office, President Obama, Joe Biden, national security officials, James Comey and Peter Strzok among the attendees. A lot of buzz this week about the firing of the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, Jeffrey Berman. Attorney General William Barr announced late last Friday night that he would be stepping down. Berman said he had no such intention. Finally, President Trump stepped in and fired him. Obviously, the Democrats are upset. They want to have a hearing, as they always do. Give us a little background on the role of the U.S. attorney and the relationship to the attorney general and the president in terms of job stability, shall we say.
Sure. Well, so the U.S. attorney's offices for, I guess, 94 districts have a presidentially appointed and Senate-confirmed head who serves at the will of the president as a U.S. attorney. And, of course, the attorney general is kind of the guy who herds all the cats. He's the person she's the person that is in charge of the Department of Justice and basically U.S. attorneys. It is going back probably 25 or 30 years now that we had President Clinton let Janet Reno as the attorney general accept the resignation of 93 out of 94 U.S. attorneys on the first day on the job. So it's very common territory now for the U.S. attorneys to completely turn over or almost completely turn over when a new administration comes in. And, of course, when the administration's in charge, like's happening here, that is something they can do as well. What's really kind of comical about this, you know, quote, crisis, end quote, is that Berman was an interim U.S. attorney to start with. This is a person who didn't have Senate confirmation, who meets the very definition of temporary because he's the interim U.S. attorney. But there's something about Southern District of New York. I mean, the last U.S. attorney went out kicking and screaming. Berman's the interim. He goes out kicking and screaming. It's just nonsensical, but it goes to the old cliche of the sovereign district of New York. There's something about the bosses in Manhattan where they think they have their own Department of Justice and that they're kind of above the riffraff, those other U.S. attorneys with the exact same job title. So it's no big surprise that Berman is out and that there's no real legal recourse or constitutional violation or anything other than street theater to happen in Congress.
Jim, you mentioned street theater. Well, the uproar in the media, of course, was that President Trump and Attorney General Barr were firing Berman in order to stop the prosecutions of Rudy Giuliani and his two associates. The deputy U.S. attorney, Audrey Strauss, now becomes the acting U.S. attorney. Would a prosecution or a case stop just because Berman's out?
No, it's highly unlikely. I mean, the reality is if you've got a bunch of career prosecutors or experienced prosecutors and agents that are working on a case for a good number of months or even years, whoever's at the top doesn't matter a whole lot. I mean, yes, they have authority. Yes, they can make big decisions about whether to prosecute or not, but the case doesn't just evaporate. And I think here it's highly unlikely that any of the cases that theoretically touch on President Trump are going to just dissipate because they've changed the head of the office. So, again, if you really know how a U.S. attorney's office works, you don't assume that everything just evaporates into thin air because there's a new boss.
So Attorney General Barr and President Trump wouldn't be naive enough to think that just by firing Berman that the Giuliani case is over.
No, I don't think they have any reason to expect that or desire necessarily to have that happen. I think Barr is a steady hand. He's been at this a long time. He's been the attorney general before. He knows you don't just bury cases that are problematic by changing the head of the office.
Jim Trusty, If for Law, it's always great to get your perspectives. Much appreciated, Jim.
All right. Thanks, Rick. Have a good weekend.
You too. 6:57, it's the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. 7 o'clock hour is coming up. We'll talk with John Gizzi. Interesting real estate numbers here in the Washington area with Eric Stewart. We've got Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer and KT McFarland on the way.
When it comes to using data, everyone is different. Which is why Xfinity Mobile created a different kind of wireless network. One that's designed to save you money by letting you design your own data, giving you more choice and control compared to other top wireless carriers. Now, you can choose unlimited, shared data, or mixed lines of each and switch any line, anytime. No one else lets you do that, or automatically connects you to millions of secure Wi-Fi hotspots and the best LTE everywhere else. So no matter where you are, we've got you covered. All while saving up to $400 a year on your wireless bill. Xfinity Mobile. It's wireless reimagined. Call, visit a store, or go to XfinityMobile.com today. Simple, easy, awesome. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Requires residential postpay Xfinity Internet. Actual savings vary and are not guaranteed. For Xfinity Mobile broadband disclosures, visit www.xfinity.com/mobile.
You speak the truth?
Washington's Mall.
That is a simple statement of fact.
105.9 FM. WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune into WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.